ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Health authorities in England have flagged major changes in the medical treatment of children questioning their gender. It follows a landmark review that found remarkably weak evidence of the long-term effectiveness of treatments such as puberty blockers or drugs that pause puberty. Doctors in England this month stopped prescribing puberty blockers to children or young people with gender dysphoria. The National Health Service says it will now commission a similar review of gender treatment for adults. For more, I'm joined by the presenter of the RN Health Report, Dr. Norman Swan. Hi, Norman.
Hi, you should be doing this story, not me, Patricia. Well, you're the four corners on it.
Well, that's right, I did. But I also am a generalist, as you know, so I haven't. I don't watch it closely now necessarily. And this is a hugely controversial issue. Many of those who've been on puberty blockers describe the treatment as life-saving. I've spoken, as you say, yes, to people who say that without this, they would not be able to live their lives. What did the UK review find?
Well, I think we should set this in context. Australians have got to be very careful about what comes out of Britain on this issue, because there was one single service. The National Health Service is not a national service in Britain. It's a Scottish, Welsh, English service, and we're talking about NHS England, and there was one service for the whole of England at the Tavistock Clinic, and it became notorious in Britain because internationally as well, because it wasn't doing what was considered standard of care for kids with gender dysphoria. What we're talking about here are kids who might be trans or identify not with their birth assigned sex, and were suffering psychologically because of it, and needed help. The Tavistock Clinic did not provide cross-disciplinary care where the child was fully assessed and offered all the help they might need in all sorts of domains, as well as perhaps medical therapy. And for puberty blockers, we're talking about a very small group of kids who've identified as the opposite sex pretty much their whole lives. They're often boys rather than girls. It's really quite unusual. It's not a common situation. But anyway, they went out. They were considered to be overprescribing medical care. So it's not the care that kids get in Australia. So what kids get in Australia is where Britain is kind of landing is where Australia is already at, which is when you go into one of these clinics, you get a fully rounded assessment.
Yes, it's this multidisciplinary approach where it has to be comprehensive. Where they have changed, though, and it is significant, is on puberty blockers not being available at all now in Australia through those gender clinics, which exist in most states and territories, they are available, right? So there is a difference there. Yeah. That's where the controversy lies.
Yes. So there was a review of the service in Britain by Hilary Cass, a paediatrician. And as part of that, they did an evidence-based review from the University of York, which has taken a long time to be published. And that's the reason for us talking is that it was published last week. So it's 2 years old. The review was done in 2022. They did a review of so there's two situations here. There's puberty blockers for kids who are just entering puberty, just showing the first signs of puberty. And then there are hormone therapies which are either masculinized or feminized. And those are in about, you know, usually around about the age of 16, more girls than boys. And so puberty is well established by that time. So there are two reviews looking at puberty blockers. And what they found was the evidence was pretty, you know, the research was not very good into this. There were, unlike most medical studies, there was no comparator group really to, you know, what are you going to compare these children to? And that the follow-up was poor. And what they found with puberty blockers was they couldn't make any comment one way or the other about the benefits of it. And there were effects on bones and to some extent on height.
So on bone density,
On bone density. With hormones, masculinizing and feminizing hormones, they did find some benefit in terms of mental health, but again, the studies were poor. And what this highlights is that the research in this area has been poor, and what's needed is much more long-term follow-up. But what But we need to also go to some recent research from Australia, because one of the contentious issues here has been, well, the kids change their minds and you put them on this. So puberty blockers are reversible. The hormones are less reversible in terms of the effects that they have. But anyway, this Western Australian research looked at 1,000 referrals over 7 years to the West Australian Gender Identity Clinic, and they looked at kids who, the referrals which they called closed. In other words, for some reason, these kids were no longer in the ambit of the clinic, and they looked at why. And about 550 out of 900 referrals were closed. So they looked at why, and a tiny proportion, 29 of them, were because they re-identified with their original gender. Mm. And what they found was that most of these kids, it was early on in the process. So during the assessment process, these kids reverted to their original gender identity. And it was only 1% who re-identified after they'd started treatment, which is quite reassuring and shows that this kind of regret, wanting to change your mind, is at a very low level. So the bottom line here is that what's needed is more long-term research. The experience in these clinics is that it does relieve mental distress in kids who really need it, but they've also got other complex issues that need help. And if all you're focusing on is puberty blockers and hormone and masculinizing and feminizing hormones, you're not giving these kids the full care that they need.
Norman, brilliantly articulated. And if you listen to actually the complexity here, because there's so much complexity, right? Not just this binary argument. Research is what's needed. You are absolutely correct. More research, and
but the harm is not. You know, there is some harm. And the point here is that you don't put everything on hold as the way they have in Britain, because it's such a toxic conversation, is that it's done with care, with proper research.
Absolutely. Dr. Norman Swan, thank you.
Welcome.
Dr. Norman Swan, RN's health report, and they've been looking at that issue, and it's extremely complex. It is not a two-dimensional issue. Lots of complex issues some of these young people have. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.